T minus two. T minus one.
Here with the very latest news is the news headline, starring Roy Hart with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nitrary Quartet.
Thank you, folks, and welcome to the show. After another dodgy week for the government, eh? You see, while Jim Callaghan was out of the country, I could have sworn there was going to be a coup d'etat.
Really?
At least I thought I saw a coup d'etat. And as it was, we had a quiet week here at home, and the interesting thing for me was seeing President Nixon in public again. Did you see him, eh? Yes, looking a lot better after his operation. Mm-hmm. He's had his paranoids taken out. Meanwhile, all the fuss here has been about Graham Sutherland. You know, the bloke who painted Winston Churchill, eh? Still, it's not half as bad as the fuss in Uganda about the guy who creosoted General Amin. I suppose all the news this week has been about industry, really, isn't it? There's been Jack Jones calling for a four-day week. Mm-hmm. He wants us all to work a couple of extra days. There's been Michael Edwards wanting to divide British Leyland cars into four parts. Well, my Mini did it on his own ages ago. Also this week, there's been news that a lot of foreign diplomats are getting off drunk and driving charges. They have freedom from arrest, you see. It's called dipsomanic immunity. And from the Isle of Man comes the story of the parents who object to their children being birched. They're funny people, the Manx, you know. They want to abolish the birch and bring in the cat of no tails. And here's something that caught my attention. Roddy Llewellyn is going to launch his singing career on Opportunity Knocks, eh? How about that? And there you heard, friend, Roddy Llewellyn. But if you can't remember the name, just put a very close friend of the family and we'll know who you mean. And the sports news, eh? Poor old Mike Brearley and his broken arm. That's bad luck, isn't it? Still, that'll take him to try and pick up one of Tony Gregg's pay packets. Of course, chess is always in the news. It says here. I say these champion chess players are getting younger and younger, aren't they? It's the Russians, you see. I saw the headline this week, Spassky mates in two moves. Sounds like they're breeding them specially, isn't it? Honestly, these Russians, hey, what do we get out of them? Vodka and flu, eh? Yes, Russian flu's been here this week. You don't get spots or anything. You just come out in little red squares. Well, we've had our usual haul of weird reports as well. But my favourite is the evidence that beer makes your hair grow. And it'll save money at the barbers, won't it, eh? Your hair will grow half cut.
Time for the Hudlines Open Wine, and here is our guest, Minister of Energy, Eric Varley. Now, look, Mr. Varley, this business about Sir Charles Villiers and British Steel, I understand that he has said that he would rather go to the Tower of London than reveal some of his commercial secrets. Is this true?
Well, yes, 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 it is. Yes, yes. And I'm afraid he still refuses to be drawn.
Really?
Yes, but he has agreed to be hung and quartered.
Well, can we have our first caller, please?
Hello there.
Hello?
This is Bridie Murphy here. Now, about this poll on the British bedroom, and that 6 out of 10 men snore. Well, my pat snores something awful.
Have you tried earplugs, madam?
Sure I have. I put them in his ears every night, but it doesn't do a blind bit of good.
Next caller, please.
Hello, Kerry Packer here. Mike Brearley didn't break his arm, you know.
Didn't he?
No, he gave me the elbow and it fell off just above the wrist.
Next caller, please.
It's Sir Harold Wilson condescending here. I'm rather concerned that the communists are gaining power in Italy. They may put a block on my weekly visits.
You go to Italy every week?
Well, naturally. Somebody's got to hear the Pope's confession, haven't they?
The the next caller, please.
Hello, this is Mike Brearley. You've probably heard about the controversy over some of the England players growing beards. Ken Barrington isn't too happy about it.
Well, Jeff Boycott didn't have one when he opened the inning.
No, but he did when he got back.
Next caller, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I'm one of the wives who participated in that sex survey everyone keeps mentioning.
I see. And what category did you fit into?
Well, I'm one of the highly sexed wives who, on average, makes love 16 times a week.
So what's the problem?
I'm terrified my husband will find out.
Next caller, please.
Hello? I'm delighted to say I'm one of the most subdued women in this bedroom survey. I only make love once every 4 months.
Well, what are you surprised about?
Tonight!
No! Our MPs have got a parliamentary football team together, eh? And actually beat their German counterparts. I ask you what they're going to get up to next down there. But mind you, I can guess who the trainer was, can't you?
All right, lad. Now, we all know there are some people in this country who reckon MPs are no good at anything. And losing our training match, 42-0, to the Bexhill Derby and Joan Dynamos didn't help. But we're playing the Huns soon, and if we train hard, I reckon we must be in with a good shout.
I say we are. That's exactly what I think.
Oh, no. Have you got the pitch ready, lad?
Yes.
Right, bore it down Paisley's throat, then.
Well, Mr. Callahan, can I play?
Can I play what, Steele?
Oh, sorry, can I play, sir?
That's better. Now, where do you want to play, sonny?
I want to play in a role symbolizing the integral and strategic importance of the Liberal Party in the Lib-Lab Pact.
Certainly, you can be the corner flag. Oh, dear, Jim, you're evil.
That's what I've been saying, Jim, for years.
Oh, now it's the Norman Hunter of Westminster.
Well, James, how do I look in my thick, long shorts, my thick boots and heavy-duty shin pads?
Splendid, Maggie, but you look a bit silly with your tights pulled up over them.
I say, what are those two enormous shopping bags at each end of the pitch?
They're the net, you Tory twitters. Don't you know anything about soccer?
Well, not really. I was rather hoping that somebody would fill me in.
We couldn't be that lucky. All right, then, lads, let's start our training session. Let's get Cyril Smith in goal. Right. Come on, lads. Give a hand. Here we go. Okay. That's it. There. Mind you don't trap your fingers.
Oh, dear. Cyril will never make a footballer.
What do you mean? He's known as the Lion.
Why? Not because he's sleek, agile and aggressive.
No, because he has antelope for breakfast. All right, let's get on with some dribbling practice.
I demand, on behalf of the people of Northern Ireland, to be included in your soccer squad.
All right, Ian. We're making you the team coach.
Oh, really?
Yes, we're going to rip out your teeth and put two rows of seats in. Now then, lads, once we've beaten the Germans, we aim to win next year's FA Cup. Now, here's a picture of the FA Cup. Oh, sorry, that's a picture of Lord Wigg. Easily done. Right, lads, the big day isn't far away now. And remember, when all's said and done, football is exactly like being an MP.
Why is that?
You only have to turn up for 90 minutes a week.
Well, the firemen are back at work after almost 10 weeks on strike, eh? 10 weeks of freezing cold weather, rubbing their hands in the cheerful blaze of a roaring open fire station. Was the strike all in vain? What do the public think? Well, we sent our raving report of Fife Goatsbeard, the Scotsman with a sporran on his chin and a picture of Jimmy Hill on his kilt, to find out.
Hello. I'm standing outside one of the largest fire stations in London. What did the firemen achieve as they sat huddled idly around in small groups, looking for all the world like dockers slogging their guts out? Around me and my microphone, I've got a small gathering of local people, half of whom think this is a good settlement for the firemen, and the other half who think this is the multicolored swap shop. Excuse me, sir.
Mazel tov.
And greetings to you, sir.
Are you Eamon Andrews?
No, why?
Pity, I thought it was my life already.
I wonder if you'd give me your reaction to the recent firemen's strike and their ultimate return to work.
Yeah, well, speaking as the owner of a properly insured small wholesale business, I think they should have waited a while and gone back next Friday.
Why is that?
I'm having my fire on Thursday.
Excuse me, madam. Have you a couple of points you'd like to raise?
Oh, yes, but I can't afford the operation.
Are you relieved to see the firemen back at work?
Oh, yes, I'm very revealed. I remember I was once trapped on the seventh floor of a burning building. It was real flowering internal, you know. And, this big strapping fireman, he climbed in through the window, and I'll never forget it because my hair was a mess, you know. Eddie wrote, he put one hand under there and the other hand round there.
It must have been.
Oh, yes, it was lovely. then he carried me down his ladder to safety.
And what happened then?
But do you think I ran back upstairs for another go? Oh!
Thank you. Here's a nice young lady. Excuse me, madam.
Hello, handsome. Introduce yourself.
Well, my name's Goldsbeard, actually. What's yours?
Oh, thanks. I'll have a vodka martini.
Oh, the first of the series. As you know, the firemen have somewhat reluctantly gone back to work. Do you think they should have stuck it out?
Would you care to rephrase that question?
Never mind that. Do you think the army did a good job?
We won, didn't we?
I don't mean the war. Never mind. Here's someone who can tell me, one of the men. To sum up finally for us, sir, what do you feel is the public reaction to your being back at work?
Well, let's face it, Chiefie. I mean, I reckon people are going to be glad to hear the reassuring sound of the fire sirens instead of those green goddesses with their large bells.
A large bell?
Thank you very much, Fife.
Oh, lovely.
And now here are the industrial Pudlines.
The miners. Yorkshire miners have jeopardized the recent productivity deal by refusing to work with constant exposure to noxious fumes and foul gases. The coal board have promised to take the necessary safety steps and flood Arthur Scargill.
British Leyland. Transport and general workers shop stewards have said that if the entire Leyland workforce can retain their jobs on the same pay, they will have 1 million cars by the end of the year. They're going to buy half a dozen each.
Industrial relations. Swan hunters have gone back to work. That's good news for the country, bad news for the swans.
British Steel. Sir Charles Villiers has announced that this year he intends to make a surplus in steel. 3 cassocks in aluminium and some pretty little zinc rubs.
Research and development. The Belfast professor with a radiocarbon machine who has been going into peat bogs, taking out old trees and dating them, has decided to give it up and go out with girls instead.
Parliament. The proposed 50% increase in MPs' salaries. The Cabinet says this must be avoided at all costs. Further unrest could mean that all MPs will come out on strike and the country grind to a complete recovery.
And now we go over to a Chelsea recording studio to join the Tory leader and to hear from one of the greatest singers ever to have charmed the birds out of Michael Heseltine's hair, Maggie Thatcher herself.
Good evening. I have been called a lot of things in my time. But this week I have been particularly flattered to hear my colleagues refer to me as a goddess. Yes, at my constituency dance, I overheard them saying, "Doesn't she move just like a green goddess?" Isn't it charming? But talking of dancing, I see that everyone is bringing out their version of the floral dance. So I thought I'd bring out mine. That's better. But you see, in this way, we could have Tory publicity being pipe-free into every home as we look forward to a spring election. My thrill. When I'm walking down the street against the driving rain and sleet, in winter furs and scarves I'm dressed, I rub my hands and I warm my chest with a cup of Bristol cream. But I long for March with the snowdrop show and the daffodil and primrose grow to greet the spring, or failing that, to make a Tory lady's hat. When Jim's all ready and I'm all set, together with the Chateau Cabernet. Will he, won't he, who can tell? But he's just told the Liberals to go to hell. Tory leaders, now advance as we all join in the spring election dance. Now look around, see who we've got. Some I've heard of, others not. Some are old hands, some are new. Some just made the chosen few, like Michael Heseltine. There's Sim John Stevens, you know him, and Willie Whitelaw, Francis Bim, and Jimmy Fryer, would you believe? Sir Geoffrey Howe and Airy Lee. Sir Patrick Jenkins, Carrington, Sally Oppenheimer, Big Davidson, were put like that in a single list. When I chose them, I was probably tired. Should I give these just one more chance as we all join in the spring election dance? Eat your heart out, Terry Wogan.
Well, a report out this week states that the police are extremely concerned about the 33 foreign diplomats who were arrested for motoring offences, but then had to be set free because they claimed diplomatic immunity. Drunken driving, speeding, forgetting to call a traffic warden, sir, the lot. And it wasn't just motoring offences. Well, now, steady on, constable. Bring that prisoner under control.
I must object, sir. I have been dragged for at least half a mile by this big brute. My trousers are torn. He punched me in the ribs and my patience is at an absolute breaking point.
I'm sorry about that, Constable Patel. You're on staff, you know. Right, now, who's your prisoner?
He refuses to say a word, Sarge. But I suspect he's one of these foreign ambassadors.
Well, how can you tell?
The cut of his clothes, the style of his shoes, and that bone through his nose.
Get out of 10 for observation, Constable. What's he been up to then?
He was looking through a jeweler's window.
Well, what's wrong with it?
From the inside.
We better search him for concealed weapons, haven't we? Right. Turn his pockets out.
Right.
Ah, one of Dinah Dawes' charm bracelets, eh? I see. No, it's
just my little jest there. There's nothing suspicious there.
Hey, wait a minute, Sarge. What's this card?
Let's have a look here. What? Magulumbar Embassy.
Oh.
These are foreign cigarettes, out.
No, Sarge. It means I am thinking he's from an embassy. We'll have to get CID.
Right. Sid! You got a minute?
He's not here today. Sarge is in court again.
Oh, not another shoplifting case.
Yes?
Surprises me how he keeps his job on the force, I'll tell you.
I have been reading the rule book, and according to page 19, clause 4, paragraph 17...
Oh, get on with it, Patel, will you?
Foreign attachees residing in this country cannot be arrested for certain crimes.
Well, what certain crimes?
Those that break the law.
What?
And it goes on to say that they retain the status of diplomatic immunity for as long as they are in the employ of their respective government.
Right. Oh, well, we'll have to let him go then.
Oh, but surely, Sarge, we could twist the rules a bit.
No, Constable Patel, no.
Oh, no.
Go on. Release him. Okay, you want to go, sir.
Oh, dear. Sarge, what a pity to let him get away with it like that.
Never mind, Constable. Never mind. He won't get far.
Why is that?
I've nicked his wallet. Well, our hospitals are coming for a lot of criticism this week. Apparently, they've been accused of having low standards of hygiene and of performing unnecessary operations. Still, we thought we'd take a look at the plight of these brave, long-suffering people who keep the NHS going, and at the doctors who treat them.
Excuse me, is this the outpatient department?
It is indeed, Cocker. What can I do for you, eh?
I got a bit of a sore throat.
That's it, tonsillitis. Nothing else for it, we'll have to amputate your throat, won't we?
What? Ridiculous, I haven't got tonsillitis.
It's tonsillitis. Telling you, and I, Squire?
I demand a second opinion.
All right, then it's Appleby's fault, I don't know. Now lie down on the operating table, Mush, while I go and scrub up, right?
Nurse, does he know what he's doing?
Oh, I'll say, he's brilliant. Oh, yeah, the last fella we had in here had one lung, one kidney, his spleen, and his appendix removed.
He must have been critical.
Critical? He was furious. he only came in and met the plumbing.
Well, nurse, I've scrubbed up. Oh, blimey, that vimmed and off sting your hands, don't you?
Look at your nurse. I've never seen such filthy hands.
Well, hands are dirty, John, I grant you. But they're like that because you spent all morning helping to save lives, Mush.
Oh, I'm sorry. What have you been doing?
I've been fixing the carburetor on an ambulance.
What do you know about medicine?
Well, I've been ill a few times.
Ah!
And I've been taking a correspondence course. Surgery makes simple in one easy lesson.
All right, then, I'll test you. What will you do with a case of salmonella?
Give it to the old poultry. Loves that Italian wine, doesn't
it? Salmonella causes food poisoning.
That's what I tell him, but he won't stop drinking it, you know? Right, we'll start right away now. Come here. Come on. Give it. Knife.
Knife.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Cotton wool.
Cotton wool.
Another knife.
Another knife.
Clamp.
Clamp.
Right, that's his pockets emptied now.
Aren't you going to give me an anaesthetic?
No, mate, no. For this operation, it is essential that you are fully conscious all the time.
What? Why?
Well, somebody's got to hold the manual, haven't they? They say that anything which happens in America happens here 5 years later. That's true, isn't it, eh? 5 years ago, they had Hurricane Dora, and now we've got Margaret Thatcher. Well, the latest is that America is working on a scheme to abolish money, you know, cash and notes, and run their economy entirely on credit cards, or even barter. Well, we may as well be ready for it when we see the back of money. If you have tears, prepare to shed them now.
Goodbye, old money, I will miss you. The time has come to take your final bow. With no such thing as cash, I have nothing I can flash. What will I jangle in my pockets now? You will see me flashing Barclay cards for bus fare. Will a diner's club card buy a pint or less? And if you're mugged one day, it's nice when you can say,
do you accept American Express?
Yes. By the way, have you heard of the new credit card, British Express?
No, what's that?
Well, it's like American Express, but nobody accepts it. Goodbye, old money. Hello, barter. Which to butchers and to tailors would be strange.
I'll swap some cuts of veal.
For some trousers?
It's a deal. Here's a jockstrap and some chicken giblet chain.
When I'm working in the bank receiving takings, comes this Arab, as wealthy as a shark. Now I've learned it's not until you pushed a camel through the grill that you realize what big deposits are. I say.
Good heavens, it's Lord Goodman.
Hello.
Here in your capacity, are you?
Yes. You know, they say that on these diners' club cards, you can eat anywhere in the country.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I've just eaten Windsor and Slough.
Oh, that'll explain why you've got stains down the front of your suit.
Now, what will Scotsman use for mattress stuffing?
Will Johnny Cash be forced to change his name?
And will Matt Bygrave's gains come out of lock and chain?
And will my agent's life still have a name?
Say, dearie.
What's the matter there, Chunky?
What a good time, do you?
Oh, dear, I haven't got any money. Can I have it on the slate?
Oh, yes, let's have you up on the roof.
Hey, just a minute. All them people down below are laughing there. Wait a minute. Do you accept the Idi Amin card?
The Idi Amin card? What does that do?
The Idi Amin card takes the one thing out of the other thing.
Goodbye, old money. We must leave you.
As collector's item now, you're worth much more.
So I'll think as I surrender my negotiable tender. How little it was really worth the while.